Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Julie Merica. I am the host of Make Your Damn Bed podcast. In today's episode, this is a very special bonus extended episode. It's more of a Q&A hangout with my friend Sarah Pendrick, who reached out because she just wrote a book and she thought that my audience would be interested in her book. And I agree, because it's all about the science of making yourself happy and going after what you want. But this is not an advertisement in any capacity. Obviously, she's here to promote her book, but I don't get a kickback. I'm not getting paid. And consumerism doesn't have to be a part of everyone's self-help journey. We know that. So do what works for you. If you are interested in purchasing the book, however, it is in the show notes on this episode. Wherever you're listening, there should be a link available, and you can follow Sarah Pendrick wherever you do social media. But like I said, I didn't do this to sell to y'all. I just did it to have a nice conversation with a like-minded individual with stepping into your own as a goal. So I hope you all really enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed making it. I had such a good time with Sarah, and we really talked about some hearty stuff, and it felt really nice because I haven't really gotten to talk to anyone else about this stuff on the podcast before, so it felt really cool, and I think it's something I'm interested in doing more extended episodes, probably some solo and some with other guests, but this feels like a great jumping off point. I'm really excited about this one, and I really hope y'all enjoy it. I would like to give a content warning. There is mention of sexual assault in this episode, however brief, it's important to note. That said, without any further ado, here is the extended episode of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast with Sarah Pendrick.
There we go. We're in the money.
We're doing it.
Yay. All right. My name is Julie Merica, and I'm joined by my guest today,
Sarah Pendrick. So excited to be here.
Hell yeah. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. This is my first extended episode that I've done, and I'm planning on doing some more with just different topics, and I'm hoping we can start getting into some of those now. But Sarah just wrote a book, and I am very excited to hear all about it. I was hoping you could maybe give us an intro to who you are, if you have a little rundown for my friends.
Yeah, of course. I'm so excited. I love your podcast. I'm so excited that you're doing these extended episodes. I think you're so funny and just really making a difference in people's lives with this.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here. My name's Sarah Pendrick. My new book, Beautifully Brave, it covers all topics, especially for women. It's an unconventional guide because it's not just like the same thing that you're used to hearing and seeing. And while that's important, because every time you hear something, you learn about it in a different way, I wanted to create a book that brings you on a journey that you can read through 10 times, or you can come back to it when you're going through something specific in your life. And it covers frequencies, the science of happiness. It covers like how to say no and boundaries. And it has a lot of self-care, to where if you're in a situation where you're feeling some self-doubt or imposter syndrome, or maybe you're just sick of like following everyone else's opinion and you're like, no, like my intuition is telling me to do this and how to handle that. So it's really a book that's like your coffee table bestie. I created it to be really beautiful as well. So it looks good on your nightstand, coffee table, shelves, all the things. And yeah, I'm just super pumped about it. There's practices that are practical, inspirational, and also science-based for all of you out there, which I was one of those and I still am, that is like, okay, I need to know the proof. Like, how is this 2 minutes a day really going to change my life?
Nice. So yeah, there's a reason why we wanted to do this collab, because we realized that there is an audience overlap. This is pretty much what I talk about in my podcast. And I go from a very scientific perspective as well, because that's, to me, I'm the work smarter, not harder kind of camp of just trying to get things done. And like, I think that if you do flow into what other people have studied for so long to create happiness, you can kind of beat the system a little bit and feel more of it more often in an authentic way. And I love that.
I know. It's the perfect collaboration. I'm so excited.
What did you do before this book? What led you into creating this piece?
So I grew up in the Midwest. I was like just this like really bright, like spirited child. And when I was 5, I was sexually assaulted. And then from probably like the age to 5 to 15, I was just figuring out I didn't have the tools. My bright personality was dimmed a little bit for things that had happened to me. I went through a lot of bullying in middle school and I was just in survival mode. So somewhere along the line, I think when I went off to college, I started listening to that inner voice and wanting to find the tools. I'm like, there has to be a better way to live. Like, I'm not going to let the experiences that I had like take my power away. So I went into psychology because I'm like, all right, what else am I supposed to do? I want to learn how to deal with this. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. So I went into psychology, was getting my master's, about to get my PhD. And I'm like, oh, like this isn't my path. And then made a really beautifully brave, not to plug the book, but like that's what it's about. beautifully brave decision to move out to LA and follow my dreams and just like dive into what I knew had been on my heart, which was Girl Talk Network. That is my company. We do like programs for women and masterminds and all these different things. And that's where really like my healing took place, where I was processing and also building a community at the same time. And that's where the book came out of.
That is absolutely incredible and beautifully brave to share with me. Thank you so much. Is your book, it's the story of your life with these scientific methods, or does it have some personal stuff in there? Is it more of a kind of guide that you can keep going back to for everyone?
Yeah, it's more of a guide. I do share personal stories. Of course, it's not like my autobiography or anything, but I'll share stories of like, why are we here? Like what has happened in my life, but it's really a guide. And it's also like a movement for people to get together and give it to their family, read it with friends. I talk about like friendships, especially female friendships. For me, that was a journey. And now I'm surrounded by epic women. Like I'm on this podcast with you and how to cultivate that. So it's really a guide for everyone, but I do share like little tidbits of things throughout my life.
That is magical, because actually most of the comments, my first season of Make Your Damn Bed was mostly dedicated to self-help and all your inner journey and creating the self-worth within you. And then the second season is more about our relationships with others and outside of ourselves. And I have a lot of questions that come in about creating friendships. And as an adult, you do start to realize if you're not forced in rooms with kids at school or whatever it may be, or in summer camp, then it is much harder to cultivate really authentic and deep friendships with your people, your type of, I call them soulmates, but on a non-romantic level.
I say that too. I love that. I'm like soul family or soul friends. Like, it's so true.
Yeah, I think that's lovely. Do you have any insight on that stuff that right now that you could share with them as a sneak peek into the book?
Of course. Yeah. Well, first, I just have to tell you I'm obsessed with the name of your podcast, by the way. Like, I'm sure you've talked about it on the podcast, but did that just like drop down to you like a download, or were you like playing with things?
This one, I think it it came to me, my dad used to say it all the time. He's like, make your damn bed all the time. And so when I think about making my bed, I hear him in the back of my brain saying that to me. Uh-huh. And he was the person that kind of taught me, it's in the first episode, this concept where your room is not the biggest, maybe, but if your bed takes up 80% of that and you make your bed, you've completely just transformed your whole room by doing one task. And I'm like, oh, the work smarter mindset of it tricks your brain into thinking that more of your room is tidy and that you've done a task in the morning and all that sort of idea that it feels like you've done more than the 3 minutes of just throwing your bed together.
Yeah, I love that. That's so true. And then that 3 minutes, it kind of tricks you into being more productive for the day. The work smarter. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. So my journey with like friendships was I have friends that I grew up with that I love. But like I said before, I also had a lot of tough experiences with women growing up, just bullying and jealousy. And I'm someone that I'm really sensitive. Like I'm really sensitive. I read energy. I care a lot about people. Mm-hmm. And I think that I just naturally, especially with things that had happened to me in the past, just didn't feel seen and felt super misunderstood. So through high school, I mean, I was in like my ego and shadow a lot. Like I didn't know, I didn't have the tools. So I was just doing my best like everyone else. And when I moved, specifically when I moved to LA, I didn't know anyone. I had a few friends from college. So naturally I'm like hanging out with them, trying to know people in this big city. I moved here from Nashville. And, you know, just fit in. Like, that's really what I was doing. Even though I took this, like, really brave, bold step, I still wanted to be seen and, like, didn't want to move to this big city and be alone. So,
right.
Yeah. Like, it's like I jumped in with a crowd that I just knew. Like, it might have not been the best for me or my highest self, but it was just, like, what I knew. So,
it's comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It was like comfortable and I wasn't alone. And then I kind of started going down the road of like, well, it still feels alone because it's just not my crowd, you know? It's just not my soul people. Like I love them. There's nothing wrong with them. I'm not their soul people. And that's where I kind of
totally.
Started, yeah. Like that's where I started starting to learn how to read energies. You know, when you like leave a lunch and you're either like really filled up, like, oh, that person was awesome. Like that was so fun. Yeah. You're like, yes, of course.
Yes. Or you feel completely drained. I had an episode on that too, where it's just, it's recognize who is, and there's nothing wrong with having people that drain you if you still love them and all of that, but you need to be in control of how much you're sharing and when you're sharing it, and also recognize who does leave you feeling really inspired because those are your soul people. Like you said, your soul community.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I write about this in the book. Like it just like the first step is awareness. Like I just started to become more aware of things and realize that there's nothing wrong with that person. We're just not a frequency, like a vibration match. So I'm like, all right, what does that mean? Like there's literally nothing wrong with them. I'm not a match for them either. And I had a really, I had a really lonely year, my first year going from what I was doing. Like I was doing PR and marketing because I was just doing anything to be able to live here and building Girl Talk. That was really lonely because the same group, they weren't doing the same things as me. So while I could be up at midnight working, like they totally didn't understand it, which made me even feel more like left out, like those like wounds. Mm-hmm. So I just ultimately kind of decided another beautifully brave step where I'm like, all right, I might not be like alone in terms of like there's people around me, but I feel alone.
Totally. Isolation comes in many forms. Yeah. And I think that's important to recognize also that you can build up your friend group all you want, but if you're not opening up or you don't have one person that you can be fully yourself with, then it will never feel as validating or as wholesome as you're expecting it to. And then you'll just be disappointed in both you and the experience, I feel like.
Totally. And you're leaving dinners or wherever with them. And it's not like you got, like, you're not lighting them up. So it's like, I just realized that. And so I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be a tough year. And I totally went through like, wow, am I just weird? Like nobody is there anyone else that's like wants to talk about these things that I want to talk about and like wants to grow and whatever. And it was tough, especially when you're starting out, like when you first started this podcast or anyone that's listening, like when you're first starting something, it's scary and you're putting a lot of intention and faith in yourself. And that's what I was doing with my business. And it was a kind of a lonely year until I started creating what I wanted. Like, I had my first women's event and I set it up to be exactly what I wish that I would have had. And then I slowly started meeting more women that were on the same vibe as me, the same energy, and just up to about the same things. And
sometimes you just have to build it, and like, you're like, okay, I can't find my community, I'll make it myself, is really iconic. I love that.
Yes, exactly. Like, literally make your own community, especially, like, there's a lot of things about social media that definitely are not amazing, but there's a lot of amazing things. Like, I think we connected on DM. Like, you can meet your people online and you have the power to just create it. Create what you want. Like, create that friendship group. There's people out there that are feeling the same way as you.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. My parents were always good about saying that there's somebody for everybody. And like, if we saw a strange appearing couple on the street, it was really kind of romantic in my mind, because I'm like, oh, they found their people. Like, it's like, you're like,
that's so cute.
Yeah, the weirdos even have their stuff. And I feel that way too, because I am the weirdo. We all feel like the weirdo, the isolated one sometimes. And it's nice to know that if you do start shooting your shot and reaching out to people who think similarly or you think might need to hear it, then you start finding those people kind of organically, and it doesn't feel so much pressure. And then you're like, why did I work? Don't try so hard. We're human beings. We're not human triers, you know? It's
like, yeah. I love that you said weirdos. I'm like, I'm a weirdo too. Like, go find your weirdos. Like, I literally, the things that my old friendship group, who I have so much love for, would literally say to me, Sarah, you're so weird. Like, no, that's weird.
Yes.
Now my friends are like obsessed and they love me for it.
I said that when I first got into comedy. I moved from Florida, where I was always the weirdest one, the most outgoing, kind of strange one that everybody made fun of. They were like, you're so weird. You do not fit. But it was fun. They were all kind. It came in like out of love, right? We just weren't on the same energy wavelengths. And so when I moved here and met a bunch of other improvisers and people who kind of thought like me and talked like me, I was like, I'm not, y'all are weird. I'm the tame one. And you look at me like I'm holding back. And I'm like, no, this is me on the real. And then I had to kind of like unlearn some of the filters that I had been taught with my old friend groups to fit in. And to really let my freak flag fly, as they say, and just like lean in. And it's been really empowering to know that you can step into your full person and not feel insecure about that, because eventually it will kind of narrow down your friend group to the right people who love you for you.
Exactly. And I love that you said unlearn, and because that's what I had to do too. Like, I unlearned those things that I was like gonna say or wanted to do. And I'm like, oh wait, I'm so used to like this not being a part of my friendship groups or being told that that's weird, that I would hold back. And then now it's like, those are actually the things that my current like amazing soul friends like love about me the most.
Yes. And it's important too. Something that I've learned is I used to try to push my old my real personality on people who didn't necessarily thrive with that. And it would drain their energy and it would drain my energy. And I realized that that's not necessary to share with everybody now, because I have people who appreciate it when I do share it. I can turn it off and I can keep it. It's not like keeping it aside. I'll turn it out when I feel the need or feel comfortable doing so. But I don't feel the pressure to almost perform where I did. As when I was unlearning it, I felt like I needed to redeem all the years I suppressed it, that I wanted to like show it off and almost become performative. And now I'm finally at a place where I can just be me. And if sometimes that's a lower key version of me, or if sometimes that's the weirdo me, and my people kind of understand that I am a nuanced human being with a lot of different me's inside of me, and that doesn't make my identity any less valid or real. It actually makes it even more real and authentic, because I'm more comfortable allowing that truth to become reality, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're like multifaceted, and I think that the groups that you find and the more that you learn about yourself and go on that journey, like, you give yourself that permission, because that's part of the process. Like you said, I had that same thing where you were like, oh, I was almost like performing. To me, that's sometimes part of the process, because you're like, you've almost been suppressed for so long. And now you're like, no, like, I'm going full force. And then you start feeling like, my energy is different every day and in different circumstances. And like, that's okay. So I also think that's part of the process. I write about that in the book. There's one of the chapters that's like, never lose yourself again. So like going through exactly what we're talking about, like,
I love that.
Don't lose yourself to, yeah, like to like feeling like you have to perform, or just like that awareness that you just really do get to be you. And I love that we keep saying weirdos, because I'm saying that to myself. Like, I'll be like, Sarah, you're so weird sometimes. But you're like weirdos, like your soul family, like they're out there. Mm-hmm. And you're also not going to be able to find them if you keep saying yes to everyone else and no to yourself.
Yes, exactly. Like if you impress everybody with this mask on, then the day you want to take it off, those people aren't going to like you either. And then you have nobody. Yeah. Like you've created this division between you and your soul family, as you've said. But I really did find that interesting, and you telling me a little backstory on your history, the feelings that you had being so isolated is such a, obviously your experience is much different than mine and many others, but we still all feel those very human feelings that I used to resent so much, because the way they come doesn't feel fair, or what traumas cause them doesn't feel okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't feel fair a lot of the time. But once you realize that like everybody has felt these feelings, you don't feel so alone, and you feel like it's nice reading stories from people who have experienced it in a different way and overcome and alchemized into good energy. Because it shows you that you can do it too, and that there's nothing wrong with you for feeling that way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like all of us have felt that way. All of us have felt isolated. It might not be from the same experience, like you said, but we've all felt it. And I actually really appreciate feelings, and I like to be aware of mine, like how I feel in my body about stuff, because it's just such a good indicator of what to do next. Like I was feeling really miserable before I picked up and moved to LA, and I was feeling all these different things. And if I didn't listen to my body and start kind of like having that be my compass, then I don't know that I would have made that first step.
Yes. I feel I'm so interested in this too, this idea of just allowing yourself to feel these things so that you can become more in control. It feels like you're releasing control to almost garner control. And it seems counterintuitive when you first start it, but as you practice and become more comfortable doing so, you realize your control is in your responses and not in your immediate reaction to your feelings or trying to suppress them or whatever it may be, because they are uncomfortable a lot of the times. Like being miserable is not fun, but if you don't sit with it for a minute and figure it out, then you don't know what you need to do to get out of that state of mind.
Yeah, I love like the self-talk and just the journaling, like those little things, because it helps, it like supports you through that, where you're like, because so many times, and I did this, like I lived that for however many years, you're feeling miserable and you're just covering it up. Like you think, it's like this whole thing about work smarter. Like you think you're working, like you're working really hard to cover it up, but you're not working smarter. Mm-hmm. Just be like, all right, like let me just take this week or this hour and be like, what's up? Like, why does this keep popping up? Like, what is it here to tell me? This feels really crappy, but like, all right, let me just like focus my energy on where this is in my body, or why does this keep coming up? And there's a lot that you can learn. And then that's working smarter, because you're actually gonna, you know, heal it or move it or find something there, rather than like putting all this junk on top of it and ultimately wasting a lot of time and working harder.
Totally. Yeah. And I think this idea, like you said, of finding the root of it will allow you to not be taking, you don't experience it as often, because these little things won't trigger you, because you've completely unrooted, or whatever it is, the problem in the first place. Like when my boyfriend says something to me offhanded that has no negative nuance, but I take it as such because of a past relationship, mm-hmm. and I sit here and I just dwell on what he said to me, I'm never going to get to the bottom of why I felt that insecurity in the first place, which means I will constantly be having these same conversations with him, which is not his problem to have, right? It's mine to address and figure out, so that I don't keep putting my problems into the toilet paper ripping wrong and infuriating me, or my cup spilling and that being the straw that broke my back that day. Yeah. And like, there's no reason to be on edge all day long.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it starts with the awareness of it, because then it's like another thing where people, you know, they never dive into that. And then they're just constantly going through a friendship, relationship, and it's just the same thing that's happening. Like you think like, oh, I just broke up with this person. Now all those triggers are going away, but you're just bringing that into the next relationship because you didn't, you didn't have awareness and figure out like, oh, hey, this is me. And then you get to figure out which parts aren't you. Like, this is mine. I'm getting triggered. And then you also see, but this part isn't mine. It's theirs.
Right.
And like figure that stuff out.
Yes. And you don't have to carry all the burden because we do all have these same things that we are learning and unlearning. And by reading stories such as yours or listening to podcasts like mine, you can get to know what things do resonate with you on a real level and what things you are numbing as to not have to deal with it. Because I like what you said, how you'll just jump into new relationships. It's a really big pet peeve of mine in today's society to just kind of throw things away and not work on them. And it's easier sometimes, you think, but it really isn't, because now you're reestablishing everything. And then you just realize that this person is going to cause another type of thing. Everyone has their shit, if you will, that they bring to the table, and it's going to affect you in some way. And you just have to see if their shit meshes with your shit is typically the way that I...
Our shit mesh.
Yeah, which is the grossest visual, but you know, we get there.
Yeah.
What was the most challenging part of writing a book? I'm really just interested in that process just as much as the excitement of getting to complete it.
Oh my gosh. It's a whole journey. There's like, I have so much respect for people that write books now. And I've been around friends of mine that have written books, and I'm just not the person that, I'm not like a complainer. Like I might have like a venting little session and then I want to shift and figure it out.
Right.
And so you just hear like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm doing like, you hear those things and you're like, oh, okay. And I just, it's a whole nother like project that until you do it, you just can't understand it. And I was there. I was just like, wow, like this seems like this is a really crazy process. And it is, because there's so many parts of it. Like depending on if you go down like self-publishing or publisher, there's the beginning stage of that. So if you're working with publisher, which is my story, you're doing the proposal and you're shopping and you're having all these meetings and you're getting let down, you're getting rejected, or you're getting accepted. And then you go through the negotiation process and all of those things. And then you dive into where you have timelines and you're also in this really creative process, but you know, you got to get it done. Like you could sit there and write your book for 10 years without timelines. So
yeah,
you're going through timelines and editing. And then like, I came up with this, like I had this moment where I was like, oh my gosh, this is my first piece of permanent content. Like you can't delete a book. Like
you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know? That fear of being like, this is, when it's out, it's out.
Yeah. So I had that fear, and it just goes back to what we talked about earlier of like, I'm multifaceted. Like I'm going to be growing. Like I could have a part two of this book, but I really created the book to go for life. Like it to be a book that's for anyone at any stage. And I just like talked myself through that, like, hey, like it's okay. Like it's just yeah, it's a process. And then you turn your book in and you're waiting for a little bit, you know? Like I just had my book in my hand for the first time and I was like, oh, this is real.
That's so cool though.
Yeah. How magical. And now it's fun because it's gonna be out there and I cannot wait to see it in people's hands and hear how their lives and their relationships and just everything is like altering and uplifting. And that's going to be the most exciting part. And I'm almost there. We're almost at that part.
How beautiful. Yeah. I know. I'm so excited to see it and read it. I think it's really interesting as a creative, this journey that I've done for myself in having a tangible product, because I do theater and stuff like that, where it just kind of goes into the ether, a lot of my comedy shows and whatever. And it's nice to hear how exciting. And also that side of it, this like, oh, it's tangible, which means if I make a mistake, that is in there forever kind of thing. But it's cool to have a piece that is finished and you can hold in your hands and see the work that you made.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a process that I respect a lot. And I'm really, really excited and grateful to have done it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm really proud of you. Yay. I don't know you well, but I think that's really dope.
Thank you. I could totally see you writing a book. I think it would be so awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'm planning on doing the Make Your Damn Bed into a book at some point with like journaling prompts and stuff, because all of the topics are very important to me that we cover. But it's a process that I've read about book proposals, and it gets overwhelming to begin anything. But hearing other people following a path and making it feel doable does feel a lot more inspiring. And I think that's the whole point of sharing your words and your stories with, and why it's so important to share these stories of like love and encouragement, or share something with the world that isn't perpetuating some of the nightmare fuel that's going on right now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you'll know, like, you know that you want to do it, and you're just gonna know one day. You're like, all right, it's time. Like, I'm sure, I don't know if right. people say that before I did. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means. But I'm like, oh, now I get it.
I do get that. I am all about the inspired action kind of thing. There's some stuff I can't avoid doing. Like, I'm not getting paid for this podcast, but I still get encouraged to get up every day and do it. Those are the kind of projects where I'm like, oh, they'll come to me. The right ones will stay, and I'll make them work. And if I don't have the energy right now, then I'll take breaks when I need to. But I try not to put too much pressure on myself to create anything that isn't really necessary for me to create, because I used to be just a, like, oh, I need to be constantly making kind of creative, because capitalism, and you have to monetize everything that you do. But as I get older and realize I don't necessarily need every single gig anymore, which is a really beautiful and privileged place to be. And it's allowed me to separate what tasks and what creative endeavors I really enjoy doing versus the ones I felt like I needed to do to progress or whatever it may be on this arbitrary timeline of climbing the mountain.
Oh, for sure. I'm in the same place as you. And I remember when I wasn't in that place, and it was really tiring. And it feels so good when you're creating. Like you said, like, you're not getting paid for the podcast or when you're starting it or whatever, but you just knew that this is something that I'm really supposed to be doing, and I'm helping people, and that's enough for me.
Right. Exactly. It's not about that. And that allows me to know that it is a pure purpose, so that if I do, when I do start making money, like, I had one donation from a very kind woman recently, and she was so sweet, and it was my first money that I took in from the podcast, and it made me feel driven to keep going, but it also reminded me that was not the purpose. So not to get caught up in like finding the right advertisers or anything. Like with you, I've had quite a few people reach out for collaborations, but after doing research on Girl Talk and you, I felt really comfortable doing this one because I know my audience will thrive with your words, right? Like it fits kind of the same themes and vision that I have for my listeners and people who relate and get helped from my words. And I want that to be kind of the thing moving forward with this podcast, to be things that are driven by need and creative, like, out of love, you know, instead of this like scarcity mindset that I used to have when I was creating.
Yeah, that's so empowering, like, so inspiring and empowering that. And just for everyone listening, like, how much like trust they get to have in you, and like knowing where you're coming from, and you're like protective of the container, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to do anything that isn't, you know, isn't a match. Like, that's such an empowering place to be and to come from. And like, what a beautiful community.
Yeah. And I've learned too that I don't necessarily think, or I don't judge anyone that does things that sell out, if you will, or does things to like make money. That's what we're doing as human beings in a capitalistic society. We need to hustle, and that's part of the work. And I think that that's why I'm so grateful to be in such a privileged place, that I have enough gig work with my photography and my other things that I can supply myself with this as a passion first project, and I can feel trusted with that. And if I do put advertisers on, they're going to be people that I think will match or like make me feel good and align with my light. But I don't want to like admonish anybody that doesn't follow that, or like that does end up selling out on their like ads and stuff or whatever they may do, because I do see the reality of our society in everything I do. And I try to like separate and make judgments based on it, but I try not to I try not to judge those who do fall victim to the fact that we do need money to survive and it's a hustle out here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same. It's like the discernment. Like I always, like, even when I'm talking about things in the book or we're talking right now, I'm like, I'm all about just doing what is best for you. Like, what is going to make you the best person? What is going to have you show up on that stage or in your family? Like, we all have a platform, no matter how big or small. Like, we all have a platform. We have one, at least one person in our community. So that's where I'm like, I'm the same as you. I'm like, I don't judge anyone. I don't care if you sell out and you're like hustling, doing the thing. People are paying you bank for your podcast. Like, that, if that's what aligns with you, like, that's all anyone's responsibility. That's all you got to do is just, and this is what I talk about in the book too, is like, just know what aligns with you and what feels good to you and what is in your body. And as long as you know the intention that you're coming from and you're cool with that, like, that's enough. So I have no judgment on the way other people do things either. I think that we just continuously get to say yes to ourselves and stop saying no to ourselves by doing what everyone else is doing when we know it doesn't match with us. Like, I did that for years. I would do things because it's like, oh, you're supposed to do that, or that's what everyone says. Or like, I said no to myself for years until I realized I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, I'm going to have my own back. And then that's where I felt that actual love inside. Like, self-love is such like a buzz term, and people, you know, a viral hashtag, but everyone's like, what is self-love really? And that's one of the reasons I even wrote the book, because I actually realized when I started saying yes to myself, I felt like how you love your partner or a friend or your family. I actually felt that feeling inside myself. And I'm like, oh, everyone gets to have this.
Yeah. And it's such an important foundation too, that I think there's a reason why it's a hack term, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why it's a hashtag. There's a reason why people are pushing it, because we all need healing as a community right now. And I think there is this, we're all kind of busting out of this bullshit thing that they've sold us where we have to hate ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's just so that they can make money. And I think we've all been taught to put our self-worth outside of ourselves, whether it be with our accomplishments or our friendships and our relationships. You have to get married, you have to meet the person, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be whole without my other half, kind of shit. And you're like, no, because actually none of that stuff will fulfill me if I'm not happy on my own. And if I can't come to terms with like who I am and who I'm stuck with, you're stuck with this person. So like, you may as well start loving that bitch, right?
Yeah, like, not the person. Yeah, the person that you're stuck with is you, and the person that needs you the most is you. That's why you see even so many people that are getting millions of likes and they have so much validation, yet they're feeling totally like disconnected from themselves, because it doesn't matter. You could have all the validation in the world and all the things in the world, but if you don't have a relationship with yourself, like, that, nothing's ever going to be enough.
Right. And sometimes climbing that and getting there and going viral or doing that thing is what you need to realize, oh, I'm still not whole and I'm still not happy. And then that might push you. Everybody's journey is different. Like, you might hear the same words 1,000 times. And then the one time I read it in your book, it might be the thing that pushes me over, or the one time I hear it on a quote on the train or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. You never know when the time that your body and your brain and your energy really needed to align with it. And I think there is such a power in recognizing that we have all, it's interesting, we're all very unique and we're all very special, and all of our journeys are definitely like fingerprints, very different, even if they're similar to someone else's. But at the core, we're all the same. We're all just people having the same feelings about stuff. So it's kind of, it's both. It can be both.
Yeah, no, we are. It's so true. We're so different in ways of like, it can't look the exact same, but we are the same. And that's really, really what's beautiful. And I think something that I'm really excited that people are like waking up to is, oh, I do actually want to have, you know, more self-awareness. Or I talk about the science of happiness in the book, and I know you love this stuff, is like, how do you actually, you're not gonna be happy 100% every day, but how do you actually have like that well-being and lasting happiness inside of you, rather than like reaching for the candy bar, which I love my candy bars, but I'm just saying, and like
to numb,
reaching for the bag, and it like, how long does it really last? Yeah, it's like, people are starting to be like, oh, I actually want to, you know, take care of myself. And the way that you're able to do that is by starting to have more self-awareness and paying attention to your well-being. And I just one day, like, I don't know what hit me, but I just one day was like, oh, like, I do not pay attention to myself. Like, wait, this is the most important relationship and the relationship I am going to be with for the rest of my life. And as much as I love everyone around me, like I have to show up for her, for myself, and for all those people that I love. And then that's when things just really started to change.
Totally. Yeah. If you're not going to show up for you, other people can't show up for you, even if they want to. They won't know how, you won't have modeled it. You know, mm-hmm. it's so important. And I think that, like, as much as I know that you probably being in the world of this self-help thing, it does feel like we get kind of inundated with a lot of the same kind of information. But every time I hear it, it affects me a little differently. And the way that I put it is we're absorbing content pretty much all the time lately. Like, as far as since I became an adult and the internet became a thing, content, media, other people's words, other people's things are constantly flooding our feeds and our brains. So why not make some of it positive? Even if it's repetitive, why not keep hammering in the good stuff? Because we're just getting nightmare fuel a lot of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like your environment's so important. So the things that you do have control over, like what podcasts you listen to, what books you read, like, you know, everyone does have a choice. While you can't get out of certain environments or it's more difficult in certain ways, it's like you do have a plethora of things out there that you can really like support and nourish yourself. Because like we were saying a few times, is the unlearning. Like, we do have a lot to unlearn. So it's super important, like, what we're surrounding ourselves with.
Yes. And like, as much as we never get too old to learn more, and I'm always trying to take things in, it is just as important to be unlearning the practices that have kept me in a box or limited my beliefs in any way. Because really, there's nothing out there that isn't doable if you just keep putting your energy towards it, right? Like, the book thing is so intimidating from where I am, where I started looking up the fact that a book proposal takes about 10 weeks, let alone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're like, that's just the proposal. That's not even the book. And it gets overwhelming. But if you just take, if I take my energy and put one step at a time, like you did, it's doable. It's accomplishable goals. It's just anything can be done. It's a matter of where you want to put your energy and where you're willing to unlearn what you've limited in the past into creating that reality.
Yeah, exactly. It's like making the choice to be like, okay, well, this is possible. Like, that's the first thing. Like, this, it is. It's absolutely anything that anyone wants to do that's listening, whether it's write a book or start a podcast or go on stage and do comedy, like whatever it is that mm-hmm. you want to do, just first knowing that it is possible. And like you said, it can get super overwhelming. So it's like you might be thinking about stuff right now. Well, there's like these five things that I want to do. Well, I want to do an event like Girl Talk, or I want to be like Julie. It's like, okay, cool. Like, write all of those things down and just write 1 to 3 of your next steps. And that's yes. another tool that I use daily because I do want to do a lot. Like, I'm just getting started. Just like you. Like, yeah. I do want to do a lot and I really care about people. So I'm constantly going to be creating. So in order to not get overwhelmed, it's just having those little inspired action steps.
Totally. Yeah. And you start to realize like you make what you have the energy for. Like, there is a reserve of energy that each of us have underneath. We just have to, one, know how to tap it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that if I eat garbage foods and I smoke a bunch of weed and I drink a bunch and I watch garbage TV, I'm going to get in a routine of like not feeling energized. Yeah. I just don't feel the energy to get out of my bed. But if I set my environment up to be energetic, then I can kind of lead that into the next moves. So whether that be a small actionable step like, oh, I'm going to make a list, or it be a big one like I'm going to start contacting producers mm-hmm. or whatever, or book publishers, then you can kind of do that based on what you have in you, and you can get more. But like you said, you need the awareness first. You have to get comfortable knowing what you need.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like you can burn through so much energy thinking about how overwhelmed you are. And you're like, that will take 10 weeks. Oh my gosh. And then you're just wasting energy rather than, okay, like, all right, what are my just like first 3 steps? I'm all about energy. Like, I am like dedicated to having energy and taking care of myself, and like even the way that I plan out certain things that I'm doing, especially during busy times. Like, I just think energy is everything. It's so important. And one of the things that I learned, because you hear like talking about people saying the same thing or all this content out there was like one thing that I kept saying was like a morning routine. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this morning routine because this person said so. And then I started realizing, oh, well, that part of that person's morning routine actually really doesn't do anything for my energy personally. And I just start taking things and making things mine. Like we're all different. Some things are going to work for others that don't work for whatever, vice versa. So even in the book, that's one of the other chapters. That's why I say it's like a journey is actual personal self-care. Like what really works for you. It doesn't matter if it works for her. Like take it if you love it. But if you don't, like don't waste your energy on it.
Yeah. Feel free to beg, borrow, steal like other people. Then everybody's journey is up for grabs if it helps you and yours to find. But step into your own peace. If you're just meditating every day, but you're not actually meditating and you're sitting here just stressing about your whole day, then maybe the 10 minutes of meditation in the capacity that you're doing it is it's not being effective. So what's the point in pretending and just kind of like, it's like showing up to work as a kid instead of a person who really knows what they're doing. Like you're playing house basically.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, like 10 minutes, you're actually adding more stress. Like it doesn't work. Cool. Let's move on and let's test something else and get to know ourselves and know what does work. It feels so good when you're like paying attention to your energy. Like it just feels like I'm really into that right now.
Yeah, I am too. And I've realized that's truly the key to happiness, right? Mm-hmm. If you take my partner right now is an incredible human, but he's also very he's an optimistic person and he's the first like happy person I've ever dated. And it's been really special to see like he's like, well, if we got to be doing a thing, even if it's not a fun thing, we may as well make it a good time. So like when we go to the DMV, we plan like to bring things to make it fun, or like we plan our energies around not feeling inconvenienced by day-to-day tasks, which makes literally everything more joyful and brings an element of control and excitement to the horrible chores that come back every single day, no matter how good you do them, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like making that choice, be like, all right, Josh, my husband and I are doing that. We were planning on flying out to Austin and now we're driving and it's kind of a drive from LA. And Josh is like, yeah, let's just make it an adventure. Like, this is fun. Like, we're stopping here. We'll do this. And I'm like, well, I could sit there and be like, wow, I really don't want to spend 20 hours in a car. Or I'd be like, this can be really fun and we can make it fun. Like, everyone is able to make those choices and just it's a better quality of life.
Totally. It's the energy that you bring to it. If you're stuck doing something, obviously it's really important to analyze and not stay in the miserable things keeping you miserable, for sure. But if right now you don't have a choice, a lot of the time that takes time to initiate a move or initiate getting into a happy place. So be happy with the present is the only way to kind of change that energy and start moving towards creating the highest self or whatever you're trying to reach for. Because we're all, as much as I say that goals are a sham and it's just setting yourself up for more and more, I think we all should have them and we all should be working towards something. But just don't get caught up in finding your self-worth outside of yourself, kind of thing.
I love that you say goals are a sham. Like I have now I say vision. Like everyone's like, what's your vision? You talk about vision all the time. Like, why does I have like a vision for my life or a vision for this quarter, or a vision for my relationship? So I kind of like, I don't say goals anymore. I say vision.
And I love that.
Like, oh, now I just want to grow. Like, it's not like I have to have this one goal and it has to work a certain way. And I'm sure you've heard this.
Yeah.
Like, it's either this or something better, leaving it open, leaving like other opportunities to come in. And just having a vision for how you want to live that day or like how you want to be at this party or whatever it is. Like, what's your vision for that?
Yes, I am totally – I'm obsessed in stealing it because I think it really does include more of the reality that we don't know how – when you put an intention out into the universe, like I want to be a famous writer or I want to write a book – the universe will make that happen, but it might not be you don't get to plan the journey. You just get to buckle up and go. And like you said, you might end up in a car ride that you didn't expect. You expected to get there in 4 hours by flight, but now you're stuck 20 hours in the car. So you have the choice now whether you want to make it a fun experience or you want to just be a sad pity party the whole time. And that's a you choice, but having a vision, like Texas is the goal or the vision, but the goal to get there, yeah, it does put a limit on it. Whereas vision is kind of just like, yeah, I'd like to go there, but I just want to find joy, whether that be making a dog sanctuary in the woods and never talking to any human again, or be a public speaker for the rest of my life. I know that I want to create good, do good, feel good, make good kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
I know. I like love it. I'm always about like, even when I'm in inspirational places or, you know, we all have certain environments that light us up more than others, and discovering mm-hmm. those is so important. So I know like certain environments where I'm like, all right, I'm going to start writing down my vision. Like I'm going to write down like what's happening next month. Or like for me, just using this example of like the trip with my husband, like I just want to like connect with him and have fun. Cause we work smart, but I hate saying work hard, but like we're up to big things. So I want to have fun with him. And that's my vision for the.
I think working hard is beautiful. And I think working hard is an important thing. And I think once you stop feeling like your worth is tied in your work, then everyone wants to work hard. Humans are inherently like not lazy. I think we get exhausted and we become lazy because we're overwhelmed or fearful that we'll fail or whatever it may be in your personal journey. But I think most people, I mean, humans wake up and do. We make, we tinker. That's why we crave adventure, you know, like yeah. we have energy. And like you said, you can nurture that energy. So I think working hard is an important step in being a human, but it's also important to recognize, yeah, the having fun, the playing is equally as important to making you a well-rounded person. So that hard work can feel good mm-hmm. and not like a numbing device, because I think anything is fine in moderation. And that can be your like your candy bars or whatever you use to numb. Like I was saying, weed and drinking and all that stuff. All that stuff is fine. Like spending a day watching TV all day and shutting down from the world is fine. But you just can't live in any one space, even if it's a good, positive, healthy space. You can overdo that too.
Yeah. And especially for people, like I do think we've gotten in a culture of like working hard, goals. And it's like, you're not going to feel good. You're not going to be able to sustain, and you're not even going to reach your goals or feel really happy about them if you're not having fun and joy. That's actually like working smarter is having fun and joy.
Yeah. And yeah, you've met your goal. Cool. So you felt good for what, 3 minutes while you celebrated, or the 10 hours that you had a party and were hanging with your friends to celebrate or whatever you do? Like, then what? And then you're like, oh, what do we do next? No, enjoy the process so that you, when you get to the goal, you're like, oh, that was fun. We did it. Cool. What's next?
Yeah,
and you
like,
don't feel so like, yeah.
Yeah. Like
almost anticlimactic.
Yeah. You're not like, now what? Like, all right, now I need to find something to like fill my worth. Like, you're like, that's cool. That was an experience. That was part of my vision. Like, awesome. Like, I like growing. So like, what am I up to next? Or just a different energy that you're going to come from it at, like you said.
Yeah. And you feel inspired by it rather than just like, oh, that was hard work and we made it. And now I don't feel that great about it. What's the point? You know, that's never a good feeling.
Especially if you're coming at it from a place of like, trying to find your worthiness, you're definitely going to feel like that. Like I've done that before where I'm like, oh, I feel like this because this was supposed to prove something to me. Like, oh, okay, I was doing this for my, like trying to find my self-worth. And it's just so beautiful to alter and come from a different place where you're not doing things to like prove yourself, but because you genuinely like want to have that experience.
Exactly. If you know you are inherently worthy from the jump, then you can stop acting from a place of fear and scarcity and proving yourself, like you said, and you can really start to find your soul purpose, and you can stop pressuring yourself. Everything just gets easier. Like finding the energy to do this self-help work is so difficult, mm-hmm. but staying stagnant is so much harder.
So much harder. And staying in scarcity, I think when I realized, oh my gosh, because of society and the things that I've been through, like, ooh, I'm mm-hmm. in a really like scarcity all around me, and the way that I'm thinking is in scarcity. And I just was like, no, like I do get to have an abundant mindset. I do know that like whatever's meant for me will move mountains to find me, like just because so-and-so has it, like all the things, like that's the ultimate freedom.
Absolutely. Yeah. Freedom is really what it's about. And I think if everyone could kind of step into their own, then they can help out others and the world could just be a brighter, better place. And we can all kind of live in our highest timeline rather than from this place of fear and scarcity that the government has put on us. Not that this became a government or political. excuse me. On my tangents.
I love your tangents.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share specifically about like a favorite part of the book or something you're really looking forward to when it's completed or anything really that you feel like we didn't really talk about enough? Because I love hearing about it.
Oh, thank you. My favorite part, you know, I think that I thought about it, and this is what I did when I first started my business too. I just thought about it with the end in mind. Like I thought about it with, I would picture people with it in their hands or on their coffee tables, like what it would ignite and the empowerment that it would bring. And then I started creating from that place. And I do that a lot when I'm creating and like the pressures come in or all the things where we can get into our head is just like the intention behind it. And I'm just excited. Like I'm just really excited for people to have something that I know is going to support them, that's going to have them feel less alone, that's actually going to give them action steps as well as inspiration to where they're like, all right, but I'll get it. Like, I understand why I'm going to do that for 2 minutes. Like, here's the answer to things that you've been trying to figure out. Like, I'm just excited to be a part of creating something like that and to see the book in people's hands.
You should be. I'm excited for you. That is really beautiful. And we could all use more tangible action items to help us. Like I said, we're always ingesting content. So why not make it stuff that's going to make our lives better in the long run? And that work is not easy. So anybody that can help pull us along a little bit and give us a little inspiration and push in actual action items for it brings me so much joy. And I can't wait to hold on to it. Can you tell me when I can buy the book, how I can buy the book, where are we going with this?
Yeah, of course. So it's out on pre-order right now at beautifullybravebook.com, and it comes out into your hands on June 1st. So I'll really, really be excited for that day. I don't know when everyone will be listening to this. You might be able to get it right now, but just go to beautifullybravebook.com, and I'm just so excited for this. I can't wait for you to have one too, Julie.
I can't wait either. I will put the link down in the comment box or in the description box for the podcast below. You can click it there. You can pre-order it. Please pre-order. That always does a lot for just numbers. And mm-hmm. I know that people care about that. I don't know why, but I know it's important. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This is really, really empowering. And I feel very inspired. I'm excited to tackle my day now.
Yay, I am too. Julie, you're amazing. I'm so excited that we got to do this. I love what you're doing in the world. And I just think you're a badass.
Right back at you. I really do. It feels really good to meet people with like-minded visions. And this is genuinely, I have the biggest smile right now. I could not be more excited for this episode to come out and excited to see your book. Congratulations again. That's really dope.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for listening to this extended episode of Make Your Damn Bed podcast. If you want to reach out with any notes or just advice or a thank you or a hello or a what's up or a can we start a group chat or anything, reach out to me at mydbpodcast on Instagram, or you can reach out on the website at www.makeyourdamnbedpodcast.com. If you are interested in buying Sarah's book, Beautifully Brave, the link is in the description box wherever you're listening to this podcast. The release date should be in about a week if you're listening to this in real time. And if you're listening to it later, you can get that sucker in your hands right now. You know what I'm saying? I hope y'all enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I am planning on doing some more extended episodes very soon, so feel free to reach out with any topics you'd like me to cover or anybody you'd like me to have as a guest on the show. Tag them. I'm all about it. If you're listening to the podcast and enjoying it, please keep reaching out. Everybody that tags me in your post on Instagram and all that stuff, it means so dang much to me that it hurts me physically. So thank you. Y'all really do make it feel easy. Thank you again for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow for a regularly scheduled episode of Make Your Damn Bed podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer.
Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.